Praise God. God is good. This song's been on our heart for the last few services. We're going to sing it tonight, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Well, where can I go when there's no one else to turn to? Who am I going to talk to when nobody wants to listen? Is there a refuge in my time of tribulation? I go to the rock. I know He's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the rock that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain and the mountain stand by me. The earth all around me is sinking sand, but on Christ, the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Yes, I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain and the mountain stand by me. The earth around me is sinking sand, but on Christ, the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Where can I hide until the storms have all passed over? Where am I going to run to when the winds of sorrow threaten? Is there a refuge in my time of tribulation? When my soul needs consolation, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. Turn to the mountain and the mountain stand by me. The earth all around me is sinking sand, but on Christ, the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Where can I go when there's no one else to turn to? Who am I going to talk to? Yeah, when nobody wants to listen, who am I going to lean on? When there's no foundation stable, I go to the rock. I know God's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. Run to the stone that the builders rejected. Go to the mountain and the mountain stand by me. The earth all around me is sinking sand, but on Christ, the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Oh, yes, I go to the rock of my salvation. Go to the stone that the builders rejected. Run to the mountain and the mountain stand by me. The earth all around me is sinking sand, but on Christ, the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
Praise God. Aren't you glad you got somewhere you can run to? Amen. I'm glad that I don't have to run to a dead Muhammad. Amen. Wish he would talk to me. Hallelujah. I'm glad I don't have to try to talk to a Buddha that doesn't hear when I speak to him. Amen. But when I run to the cross, I'm talking to a God that's alive and is well. Amen. He's able to move for me and do a work in my life. I'm so thankful. Amen, that I serve a living God tonight. Appreciate the Lord. God's so good to us. Amen. We're so glad to be here. Been excited about revival. I believe in God's going to do great things. Amen. I believe, amen, that in these services, the way God has just dealt with us, I believe that God will really do a marvelous work in your life if you will obey the Lord. Amen. I really feel like that. I really feel like God's going to help us. I really know and I feel that there's a battle and the spirits of hell are raging. We just come out of revival over in New Brockton, Alabama. Closed out last night. Spirits of hell raging against that pastor, that pastor's wife there. And just the people just raging in families and homes.
And then, you know, we got home about 3 o'clock this morning, drove down here, and we just failed at the attack of the enemy. But I know, amen, that God is in control. I'm glad to know tonight that hell's not in control. Amen, that God is in control. I said, I'm glad to know that hell's not in control. You know, I don't know. I preach a big God and a little devil. I tend to believe that if something happens in my life, God intended it for it to happen to me. I just feel like if I have a flat tire on the highway that God didn't want me to go somewhere. I just feel like that if, something happens with my finances that God wanted me to stay and not go. I just feel like God is in complete and total control. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm glad He's in control tonight. We got home last night. I want to read to you out of the book of 1 Kings chapter 3. Amen. We got home last night. And got home, like I said, about 3 o'clock this morning. And I could not go to bed. Could not go to sleep. I went into the living room there, knelt down, began to pray. And God really dealing with my heart about this meeting, about this service tonight. And I really feel like God is going to do something in our obedience tonight. Through our obedience, God's going to move, help some folks in this house. Amen. Glad to see Brother Donnie come in. Amen. All of you that are here, amen. Appreciate you coming. Amen. We want to be obedient to the Lord. Amen. See God help us. I want to read to you out of the book of 1 Kings chapter number 3. I want to begin to read in verse number 16. Amen. Please pray for me and my body. I've had some sinus trouble the last week and it's moved into my ears. And we need God to touch our bodies. Amen. But I want to read, beginning to read in verse number 16 of chapter 3 of the book of 1 Kings. The Bible says, "Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thy handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king." Amen. Notice in verse number 21, she said, "But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear." Amen. I want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help us. I want to preach on "That Ain't My Baby." Amen. That ain't my baby. Would you stretch your hands this way? Ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we know that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by Your Spirit. God is so far beyond us to be able to produce a move of God, God, in this house tonight. But we know that You're able, God, to move in the midst of us. God, we're asking tonight that You would help us. Lord, we don't want to say one thing that You're not saying. We don't want to do one thing that You're not doing. We want people to leave here different than the way they came. I'll let the power of God meet with us in such a marvelous way. And let there be a manifestation, God, of Your anointing in this house, that we would begin a move of God in this house, that would carry on from this night. God, in the name of Jesus, help us in this house to be obedient to Your voice. And we're going to praise You and we're going to thank You and give You all the glory for what You do here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. In the previous verses before this, as you begin to read in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 3, the Lord has granted Solomon a wish or a request. He gives to him. He said, he tells Solomon that he is going to give him the ability to ask anything that he desires of God. And Solomon, there in that situation, he asked God for an understanding heart. He asked God for wisdom that he might be the king that is a king after his heart. A king that would follow after the godliness that a king is supposed to follow after. Amen. But as he begins to do this and as God begins to impart God this answered prayer in his life, there comes a time shortly after that answered prayer that God is going to test his faithfulness in the matter of this answered prayer. I don't know if you understand it or not, and I hope you do, that when you ask God for something and you begin to pray and receive an answer from the Lord, God is going to test your faithfulness. Amen. According to your answered prayer, if God gives you a miracle, he's going to, amen, require that you be faithful to the miracle. Amen. If God gives you, amen, an anointing, he's going to require that you be faithful to that anointing. Amen. If God gives you an answered prayer, he's going to require that you are faithful to that answered prayer. And so God's going to require Solomon to go through a test, a very first test after the wisdom has been imparted to him. And this test begins to show in the first, amen, 16th verse of the chapter. And the Bible said that there came two women unto Solomon. Now, not just any two women. They're not women that are normally in the presence of the king. Amen. But the Bible says that these type of women are harlots. Amen. Are prostitutes. Amen. Not normally are they in the presence of the king, but this situation has made it. I got before King Solomon. And you know, I look at these women tonight, and they're harlots in the presence of the king, and I can't judge them for who they are, because the fact of the matter is that everybody on the sound of my voice tonight has played the harlot at one time or the other. Hallelujah. Amen. I can guarantee you in this house that there's nobody on the sound of my voice that has been as faithful to God as God has been as faithful to us. Amen. We've always, amen, had those times, amen, where we played the harlot, whether, amen, we want to admit that or not. My God, but you see what I like about these strange women. My God, they know where to take their problems when they have a situation. They know that the only way they can have a solution is to take it to the king. They know that if they've got a problem they can't solve, my God, they may be harlots, they may be looked down on, people may put their nose in the air when they see them on the street, but there's one thing for sure, they know where to go when they have trouble. My God, I may not be your favorite preacher, I may not be your favorite person, my God, you may not want to shake my hand or pat me on the back, my God, but help me to understand that when I have trouble in my life, I can take it to the presence of the king and he can work it out. Aren't you glad tonight that he can work it out? Aren't you glad to know that there ain't a problem he can't solve? That there ain't a circumstance that's too hard? Our God, all we got to do is learn how to take it to the king. That's right. They may be harlots, but they know where to go when they've got trouble. Amen. That's right. And I like that. Amen. They're able to go into the presence of the king and receive an answer. And as they approach this king, as they approach King Solomon, the Bible said that one of them begins to speak up. And one of them begins to tell the king of their dilemma, of their troubles. He begins to explain that this woman and another woman lived together in the same house. And this woman, she says a few words here that really sticks out to me. Amen. She says to Solomon, she says, "And I was delivered of a child." Amen. Now that may not mean much to you. Amen. But I was there. I got in that room when my wife had our children. And I can tell you how when it was all said and done, there was a deliverance had it taken place. Hallelujah. I can tell you, amen, I noticed that word delivered. Amen. When she said that I was delivered of a child, there's a lot of pain. I don't know this by personal experience. I can guarantee you that. Amen. But I know, amen, by watching my wife and knowing from others that there's a lot of pain in bringing forth a child. That woman is closer to death than any other time in her life. Amen. So this woman had brought forth this child. She had labored for this child. She had pushed for this child. She had travailed for this child. Amen. She had put her life on the line. Hallelujah. For this child. Amen. She had given this child her strength. She had given this child at least 9 months of her life. Amen. And that no wonder she could stand. I got to say, I was delivered of a child. Amen. Isaiah 66 and 8. The Bible said, who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Can I tell you tonight that we're in times of pain? We're in times of travail. We're in desperate hours. Our God, but I can guarantee you, our God, we will be delivered. Hallelujah. I said, we will. My God, I'm so glad to know how my weeping may endure for the night. Our God, but joy will come. Our God, I'm looking for deliverance in this house tonight. I'll be able to stand at the end of it all and say, yes, I labored. Yes, I went through some pain. Yes, I went through some trouble. Our God, but I have been delivered. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that we're in an hour, I got, of hard labor. I believe that we're in an hour of pain. I've never seen it. I've not been in it all of my life. I got, but I believe. Amen. After reading and hearing stories of years gone by, I believe we're in an hour of travail. I believe we're in an hour of trouble. Amen. That's right. Well, you cannot tell you what I believe tonight. You know that midwife, amen, she walks in that room and she grabs that woman by the hand and she says, listen here, honey. She says, I know where you're at. I know what you're going through. I know the pain that you're feeling. I've been right there where you've been. My God, but there's one thing you got to do. When you feel the next pain, you've got to push. I believe that in this hour that Jesus has taken a hold of the hand of the church and said, I know where you're at and I know what you're going through. I've been right there where you are. I felt what you feel. My God, but he's telling the church, when you feel that next pain, you gotta push. My God, tonight we will be delivered. I'm glad to know and I'm glad to be able to tell you tonight, we will be delivered. You gotta push. I come on, shout out. I say, you gotta push. Hey, you gotta push. You gotta push like you've never pushed before. Amen. But you gotta understand that childbirth is not on a schedule. That's right. They may tell you a due date, but it may come 2 days before or 3 days after. It ain't on a time schedule. It could hit you in the middle of the night. It could hit you in the middle of the day. But I hope that it hits you in the middle of this service, and you're able to rise up and say, I have been delivered. They told my wife when she was supposed to have our little boy,
He told her that you were due on this date. Amen. My wife got on a treadmill. She got tired of being pregnant. And she got on a treadmill. And she walked 20 miles. I don't know. And she walked. And you know, she said, I believe it's time. Amen. So we got to going. Her water hadn't broken. Amen. We couldn't tell what time it would break. But in the emergency room parking lot, her water broke. On the way to the emergency room, it ain't on a schedule. It could hit you in the middle of the night. I got that. I'm telling you, church, if you've ever been in a hard hour, you're in a tough hour. We're in an hour, I got, where wimps ain't gonna make it. We're in an hour where people that get offended easy are not gonna make it. We're in an hour, and if you're not strong in God, you will not make it. I got, but we're in an hour of pain. I got, like we've never, my God. I got, but when you feel that pain, I got, if you'll just learn to push. I said, if you'll just learn to push. We feel it all the time. We go in our home churches in Valdosta, Georgia, and we run about 15, mostly, about 15 at the home church. And a lot of that is my in-laws. And we feel that when I'm scheduled to preach on a Thursday night, and I walk in the back of the church, and there's 6 people there. You know, hey man, you feel that pain. I felt that pain when I pastored that little church over in the western part of Florida. Amen. I felt that pain. God, when I left for that revival, and there were 40 people in my church, and I come home from that revival, and there were 2 people in my church. But you know, God really helped this boy. I got up in that pulpit that next night, that next morning. It wasn't easy. Amen. Childbirth ain't easy. I said, it ain't easy. I closed my eyes. I took my text. I began to preach what was on my heart. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what happened? It was me and Shanna and Sister Frances. But all 3 of us shouted at the same time. Hallelujah. You gotta feel the pain. And when you feel the pain, you gotta learn how to push. Well, I got to go on. Hallelujah. I could preach there all night. You see, Hebrew women, they desired to have children. They desired to have children. Amen. They felt like that the next child could be the Messiah. They felt like if they pushed one more time, the promise would be brought forth through them. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. They felt like, amen, that little bit of pain would have been worth it to be the mama of the Messiah. Amen. They felt like that their boy could be the deliverer. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, I know some of you have been through some trials and some tests and some pain. But that pain is bringing you closer to God than you've ever been before. Amen. That pain, you don't know what it's bringing forth. It'll bring forth answered prayer. It'll bring forth ministries. It'll bring forth the anointing. That's right. Don't say amen. I feel it. Amen. You know why? Amen. Because you see, when you get ready to push, God will do it in your life. When you get ready to yearn and groan and travail in God, God will bring it forth in your life. My God, this pain could be my deliverance. This pain could be my healing. This pain could be my revival. And my God, this pain could bring salvation. My God, I'm ready to push. I said, I'm ready to push. I said, I'm ready to push. I said, I'm ready to push. My God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. This woman had been delivered of a boy. 3 days later, the other woman in the house was delivered also. We know that that other woman is going to become, amen, an enemy to this woman. We know that one woman brings forth life and the other woman is going to bring forth death. We know that one woman, her baby's going to live, and the other woman, her baby's going to die. That's right. One's bringing forth life, the other bringing forth death. Did you know that God wants us to produce life? The devil ain't too concerned about your standard. He ain't too concerned about your Pentecostal name. He ain't really that concerned about you speaking in tongues. But when you lose your life, that's right. I'm not talking about the breath you breathe necessarily. And I'm talking about the life of the church. Amen. Oh, he'll let you sit there, sing your songs, play your drums, play your tambourines, preach your messages, pray and cry the altar like God. But no life is what he's concerned about. He's not, listen, amen, I know, God, we preach in enough places for us to understand, God, the goals that people have in their ministries and in their churches, God, but the number one goal we should have is let us have life. I said, let us have life. Amen, it was life, amen, that was in that man of God that looked at the man at the gate called Beautiful and said, silver and gold have I none, God, but such is I have, give I thee. Hey, I gone, oh, you can't buy that at the Christian bookstore. You can't order that online. It's life. I said, we need life. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 3 days later, amen, did you know that just as quick as we produce life, the enemy is producing death? Just as fast as we're bringing forth, the enemy is bringing forth. And this woman looks at Solomon and said, we too were the only ones in the house. Amen. You know what she's saying? She's saying there are no other suspects in this crime. Amen. We know who it is that's producing death. We know who it is that's a lying to us. We know who it is that came to destroy. We know who it is that came to kill. We know who it is that came to steal. You can't blame it on your neighbor. You can't blame it on your pastor. You can't blame it on the deacon board. My God, you gotta say there's only one a suspect. My God, in the lack of life in the midst of us, and that is the enemy. Hallelujah. The enemy is the only suspect in a crime like this. And here they are. One has a baby. The other has a baby. One has a ministry. The other has a ministry. One has a task. The other has a task. And somewhere in the middle of the night, somewhere in the darkness, this woman overlays her baby and smothers it to death. And it died carelessly. She kills the very thing God gave her. Did you know that the reason why we're in the shape we're in a lot of times in the house of God is because we're careless with what God gave us? I said we're careless. Some of us think we've been in it long enough that we can do what we want and still have God's approval on our life. Come on, some of us think we can sing good enough that, amen, we can do what we want, still have God's approval, they can't do it without me. Amen, I'm kidding. My God, some of us think we can preach good enough that, amen, they can't do it without, they can't have a move of God without my preaching. My God, and what happens is that carelessness, amen, has produced death in the house of God. You ought to write that on a post-it and put it on your steering wheel, because carelessness is what's got your joy. Carelessness is what got your victory. Carelessness is why your children are out in the world tonight. Carelessness is why you ain't got what you need in God tonight. Hallelujah. Carelessness has produced death. And the fact of the matter is that some people will try to blame you, I got, for their dead babies. And the fact of the matter is they wouldn't get up and pray. Amen. The fact of the matter is they wouldn't fast. The fact of the matter is they wouldn't obey God. The fact of the matter, I feel like preaching tonight. My God, I'm not going to preach to myself. Amen. Because you see, amen, it's carelessness that has gotten us in the shape that we're in. It's careless. Amen. We've got careless. And somewhere in the middle of that midnight hour. Now we've all had those midnight hours. We've had those midnights that are figurative of adversity. And the midnight of the soul. Amen. That dark hour of our experience. How many's ever had a midnight? If you ain't had a midnight serving God, yours is on the way. That's right. I said yours is on the way. Those dark hours of adversity. Those dark hours of our experience. And somewhere, she said, while I slept, she was asleep. Dark hour. She fell asleep. And she has no idea the danger and the desperation of the hour that she's sleeping in. It might have been all right if you'd have slept in the 1950s. But you don't sleep in 2011. You might have slept through Jack Coe's revivals. Amen. And you shouldn't have. But you're not going to sleep through the coming of the Lord. That's right. We're in a dangerous and a desperate hour. Matthew 13:25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Somewhere in the middle of that midnight hour, a swap was made. Amen. Somewhere, I thought that life was swapped for death. Somewhere in the middle of all that, amen, that she had brought forth and labored and pushed for, I thought had been taken away. And that she had not labored and pushed for was placed in the stead. I thought in somewhere, while she slept and while she was blinded by the circumstance she was in, she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thy handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. The bosom is the seat of the emotion. Took it out. But he always puts something in its place. He'll take out joy and he'll put bitterness in its place. And bitterness says, I've still got the joy, I don't need him. Woo! Hallelujah. Why you slept through it all? Hey man, your victory was taken away. Amen. And a false sense of security was put in there in its place. It can even get down to such tedious things as your confidence in the ministry is taken away. And a false sense of security, amen, can be placed. That's what Saul had. Saul felt like he didn't need Samuel. He said, I could sacrifice without him. I might preach that a little bit later in the week. Amen. I can do this without him. You know what happened? Amen. God rejected Saul. That's right. God rejected Saul. Amen. And there's a swap made. Amen. She was so blinded by the darkness of the midnight that she had no idea that life was being swapped for death. She had no idea. And she said, I arose. Amen. I arose and it was dead. Amen. I want to tell you something tonight. If God gives you something, if you'll take care of it, it will not die. Brother Donnie, God gave you a ministry. If you take care of that ministry will not die. If God give you a gift, if you'll take care of that gift will not die. I refuse to let what God gave me die. My God, I said I refuse to let what God gave me die. I refuse to sleep through a swap. I refuse to sleep so hard that I don't even realize what's taking place. Samson, the Spirit of the Lord has departed from you. No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. No, Samson, you don't understand. You're bald-headed now. And the Spirit of the Lord's departed. No, it hasn't. See, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord departed him and he wist not. He didn't even know it. He slept and a swap was made. Hallelujah. She said, when I rose, she said, the baby was dead. Amen. If God gave you something and you're taking care of it, it will not die. Isaiah 66:9, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith God? God saying, hey, if I brought it forth, if you'll take care of it, it's going to live. If I'm careless with my ministry will die. If I'm careless with what God gave me, it will die. She said, I rose to feed my child. I got my little girl's own nappy baby doll. If I'd known it was this nasty, I would have bought one on the way. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all look over in the nappy baby doll. Amen. But she said, I rose to give my child suck. She said, I rose to feed this child. She was trying to feed a dead baby. I wonder how many people are in this meeting that are feeding a dead baby and don't even know that it's dead. She said, I rose to feed it. I rose to feed my child. John chapter number 8, verse number 44, Jesus begins to speak. He says, you are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. That means he's got some babies. Little lies that he's brought forth. I wonder how many people are here like that woman. Feeding the lie. Feeding the dead baby. And this baby's daddy is the father of all lies. But you rock it. And you nourish it. And you feed it. And you hold it close. Devil will lie to you. Tell you nobody cares about you. And you'll feed it. And you'll rock it. You'll take care of it. That's right. Amen. That devil will give you a lie. You know what's happened in that church? So many churches have turned into the devil's daycare. And we're rocking lies in the congregation. And we say, oh, Sister Richardson, let me tell you what Brother Joe did to me the other day. Would you hold my baby? And so Sister Richardson's rocking that lie. And Brother Richardson comes home and says, Brother Scott called today and you should have heard what Brother Joe said. Would you rock this baby? Huh? And then you get on the phone, Brother John, and say, Brother John, I just don't know about that Scott Smith preaching that revival. I just don't think he's the man for it. Will you rock this baby? And so by the time Wednesday night gets here, amen, we're all out there gooing and gogging and amen, bouncing babies on our knees. We got our retina, come on now. We got our nose wrinkled up saying, what's Miranda up there singing like she's singing for? Ain't no sense in her up there. I heard what she did. I thought God showed me something about her. I'm telling you what it is. God ain't showed you nothing. You're rocking the devil's baby. Amen. God ain't revealed nothing to you. You turned into the devil's day. I refuse from my church to become the devil's daycare. I refuse to rock a lie another day. I refuse. I got the baby shit. I got the child of the devil. But we'll rock that baby. And we'll pass it along. Oh, it ain't got to be gossip. No, it ain't got to be on the telephone talking. Because this sister may be out of the clique. I don't know. She may be in the clique. She may be the clique. Hallelujah. But she may be out of the clique. She don't get no phone calls from people. She just serves God. Huh? She just serves God. She might be like me. Somebody said, Shanna comes in and says, where's your phone? I said, I don't know. Ain't nobody called me in 5 days. Huh? And so the enemy will come by and say, They don't ever call you. They don't love you. They don't care about you. Lay out a service one night. See if you get a phone call. Huh? Or he'll call one of these young girls. Amen. And tell them a lie. And say something's wrong with you. Amen. You know, amen, you need to do something different. He'll tell young boys, he'll say, if you'll just do something different, amen, you'd be better at it. You feel better. And you know they go doing all this other stuff and they don't feel no better than they ever felt before. But now they got a baby on there. You ever seen them welfare babies? Amen. They in the Dollar General checkout line. And they trying to pay for the food and they got these big old babies. Amen. All over. Trying to hold them. Amen. That's what happens. I know that's comical. Amen. But in the house of God, some of you can't lift your hands tonight because you've been rocking a lie all week long. Amen. Some of you can't have revival this week. Amen. Because you're so tangled up in the lies of the enemy. I got to, you don't even realize that ain't your baby. You didn't push for a lie. You didn't labor for a lie. You ain't served God to believe a lie. I got that ain't your baby. Hey, amen. That ain't mine. That ain't mine. She said, I woke up that next morning. I went to feed that baby. That baby was dead. He ain't moving. He ain't lifting his hands. He ain't breathing. She said, I slung the curtains open. And I considered it in the morning. See, some of you just need a little light on the situation. That's all I'm doing is bring a little light to the situation. He's slinging that curtains open and she looks and she said, wait. I labored and I travailed and I went through a lot of pain to bring forth what God gave me. And this ain't it. I worked and I prayed and I fasted and I've served God. What did Brother Myers say? He said, I've been to fellowship meetings and camp meetings and revivals, have people lay hands on me, prophesy over me, and I've done all of that not to rock the devil's baby. This pastor hadn't worked and labored and told, and Sister Chris, they hadn't worked and labored and told, and y'all backing them and supporting the God for light for the amen Grace Street Church of God to turn into the devil's daycare. Amen. No. I just want to wake you up tonight. I'd like to throw the curtains open and help you to understand that ain't your baby. There's only one suspect. I said there's only one suspect in this crime, and that devil's going to do all he can, amen, to divide us. He's going to do everything he can. I got to get us believe his lie. I got the devil. I didn't push for a lie. A devil. I didn't pray for that. Ain't my baby. That don't belong to me. I ain't went through what I went through. I got to raise a lie. She said, when I considered it in the morning, that was not my son, which I did bear. Hallelujah. Somewhere in the middle of the midnight, amen, there was a swap made. Death was swapped for life. Sorrow for joy. Fear for peace. Defeat for victory. You hadn't served God for that. You hadn't labored for that. You hadn't done what you'd done in God to raise the devil's children. Huh? When you prayed like you prayed and God worked in your life, it was not for you to believe a lie this far along. I remember before I got saved, my daddy took me the first time. I remember going to an independent holiness church. I grew up in the Church of God. And they took me to an independent church of God, a homeless church. And I remember being there. Brother Greg Atkins was preaching. And he was preaching. And I'd never seen nobody stand on the altar and preach. I'd never seen nobody jump around like that and preach. But not only that, there was a man behind me. He was singing. And it was the best singing I'd ever heard in my life. Well, I went to another church in my daddy's home church. And he was a singer there. And Brian Phillips would sing. Amen. He would sing. Too many miles behind me. Too many trials are through. Too many teardrops help me to remember that I've got too much to gain. to lose. Amen. He would sing, I've crossed the hot burning desert, struggling the right road to choose. We've crossed deserts. We've climbed mountains. We've toiled and we've labored, not for the devil's baby. Not to turn into the devil's daycare. The Bible says in one place, he said, the god of this world that blinded the minds of those that believe not. And it goes on to say, amen, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto thee. The devil knows if he can blind your mind, he can block your heart. And he knows that if he can get you believing his lies, my God, that you can never be blessed. My God, if he can get you to rock his baby, you'll never have a move of God. You'll never have revival. He'll tell you it's better this way. He'll tell you you know better than they know. He'll tell you it ain't really like they say it is. No, no, no. I don't know your situation, but I come by to tell you that God dealt with me at 4:00 this morning. You've been rocking the devil's baby, and that ain't your baby. I said, that ain't your baby. I just ain't got it like Brother Richardson has it. I just can't do like he does. I just can't get it. I just can't get it. I remember a story. A man was crossing the sea, come to America. Bought his ticket, had 2 pennies left over. He was going to drink water and eat crackers the whole trip and save his 2 pennies so when he got to the other side, he could buy him something to eat. So he went down to his cabin. Every day he'd drink that water, eat those crackers. And the smell of that food would come down from that kitchen down into his cabin. And he'd look at his 2 pennies and he'd drink his water and eat his crackers. So finally, on the last day of the trip, he couldn't take it no more. He ran up into the kitchen. And he seen a chef coming out holding a platter with a big old roast. I know none of y'all don't like roast, but hey man, big old roast, pot roast on top of it. He said, sir, how much will these 2 pennies buy me? That chef said, how did you get on the boat? He said, I bought a ticket. He said, when you bought the ticket, you bought it all. The devil lied to you. And told you that you couldn't be like those other folks. That you couldn't have the power of God in your life. But when you got saved, you gained access to get it all. I said to get it all. I said to get it all. I did not come this far. I've been preaching this gospel going on 11 years. That's not very long. Amen. But I did not come this long and preach where I preach on street corners and in Baptist churches and in Church of God's and in other nations and blah, blah, blah. Amen. All of that. Amen. I didn't, Brother Don, I didn't preach. I hadn't done what I've done and prayed like I pray. I got for the devil to tell me. I got, I ain't called. Amen. The devil to tell me. I got, God ain't got a plan for my life. I ain't got a place in the kingdom. I still turn to him and say, devil, you're a liar and the father of it. That ain't my baby. I wish you'd rise up in this house. I wish you'd come out your pew. I shouted in the mouth of hell, devil, I will not. I believe your lie. That ain't my baby. That ain't my baby. My wife will come. Let me tell you what those harlots did. They had a baby that they didn't know what to do with. The enemy looked at her and said, that's your baby. Huh? That's mine. The other one said, no, that's mine. No, it's mine. No, it's mine. So they didn't know what to do. So they took that baby to the king. And they laid it before the king. Hallelujah. Brother Scott, I just don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to handle this lie. Come on. I've been fighting this and fighting this and fighting this. Take it to the king. And say, king, this ain't mine. This ain't my struggle. This ain't my burden. This ain't how I really feel. This is a lie. But I don't know how to let it go. You don't have to rock the devil's baby another night. Give it back. Give it back. I want you to come out of your pew tonight. Hallelujah. I want you to get in the presence of the King. And I want you to say, Jesus, this ain't my baby. Jesus, this ain't my baby. I didn't push for this. I didn't labor for this. I hadn't served you for this. This ain't mine. This ain't my baby. Oh, I wish you'd get a hold of the presence of God tonight. That ain't my baby. That ain't my baby.
And there's too much to gain.